We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, I'm going to start with this line this morning. Welcome to the morning show. Max Fried is pretty good. How about that for a start to show up? Morning to you. What up?
Good morning. Good morning, John Fricke. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing this morning? Starting to warm up a little bit. Starting to get a little warm out there. Starting to see a lot more of those sundresses pop out.
Yeah, it's an early
sundress season.
Early summer, isn't it? We already had pop-up thunderstorms yesterday.
Where, did it rain out of Islamabad?
Yeah.
Didn't rain out my way. Yeah. But it looked like it was about to rain.
Yeah, pop-ups already. I mean, if it's that warm to get pop-ups and May 1st, I mean, man, mercy, what are we looking
at? It's going to be a beautiful summer.
Yeah, but it could be a lot. You know, we have those every now and then, Hugh, where it's summer until Halloween, you know.
I like it. See, that's why, living here in Atlanta, I'm not going to complain about it because that means tailgates are going to be nice. Like, I haven't been to, unless it's raining, been to some pretty cool tailgates for the Falcons.
Right.
The beginning of the football season, to have everybody out there and the stuff, the festivities. Great time, man. Great time.
No, I'm not arguing about the great time.
Shout out to Steve Ewing, man.
And the Falcons tailgates, they are a great time.
Steve Ewing puts on a tailgate, man. Yeah, but I'm telling you.
You know, I tell you, he puts on a show. I mean, it's private, but he puts on a show.
Well, yeah, you know what? He's the kind of guy, like, when your family, like, everybody's kind of like family. He has a big family. This is he has a lot of kinfolk. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. He's a good dude, though, man. And, you know, he's probably going to do it even bigger and better this year. So, yeah, that's the fun. To me, that's the fun part about it. Being here in Atlanta in December and January sometimes, and just the weather is nice. It's nice. It's fair. Like being in Philadelphia and going to cold weather. No, John, I ain't trying to do that. Hey, I ain't trying to do that no more.
I did check myself right off the top of the show, though.
What's that?
Well, me being the driver of the bandwagon and the keeper of the Kool-Aid, I was fully ready to come on and go, you know, Max Fried Cy Young and Max Fried All-Star and Max Fried.
No, you know what it is that I like about Max Fried? And I alluded to this yesterday. Ice water in his veins. They talked about that on the broadcast last night. Nothing seems like it phases this guy. That's what you want. What you want would love to do if you're Brian Snicker is clone him and let him pitch every day. Like have five other guys, like four other guys like mm-hmm. that, or maybe five. That's what you want because the way that he's going out there and his stuff is just wicked. That's what I've noticed. And the movement, like I talk about that when I talk about him pitching, is the movement that he has on all his pitches is wicked. And nothing phases him. That's what you need. Like, that's what – when you talk about having a great starting pitcher or somebody that you can – like, when he's on the mound, you don't worry about it, that's Max Fried right now.
Right, and then he got great help from the bullpen. Josh Tomlin came in and did a remarkable job late in the game to get out of a big jam with Manny Machado at the plate. But Braves win 5-1 over the Padres. So the first game in May goes the Braves' way. Remember, this is what Mark Bradley, and I'll give him credit for it. He said, look, he thinks the Braves are going to have – this is a big topic we had yesterday. Bradley said he thinks the Braves are going to have a big May, and his reasoning was he thinks the starting rotation is solidified, and yesterday it certainly was. Today we get Mike Foltynewicz on the mound. I'm really confident in three of the starters right now, and it's not that I don't have – faith in Kevin Gausman and Julio Teheran, but those three young pitchers, especially the two kids, Soroka and Fried, are pitching at such a high level right now. And if we can get Foltynewicz, because they only had the one start, you know, and he obviously didn't go beyond what, six innings, I think.
Yeah.
So I mean, we have to see what he can offer tonight. So it'll be really interesting to see, because if Bradley's right and this starting rotation does its thing, they won 5-1 yesterday. Dansby had the big hit. Donaldson and Acuna weren't even in the lineup yesterday. You know, so you were able to get five runs.
You got Charlie had his first start, and he came up clutch. It was funny because Jeff Francoeur was talking about how early in the game, Charlie kind of struggled a little bit, but after 9 o'clock, that's when he got his clutch hit. That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny when he said that happened, and it happened the way that it did. It was on an error for him to get to first base. But yeah, you look at yesterday's game, and it's gonna be like that, John. It's gonna be the ebb and flow. They're right at 500 right now, still in the hunt. Hopefully, you can string together some sooner than later. You know, string together a bunch of wins sooner than later, so you can kind of get a little bit of separation with that.
Going to be a fun and interesting show today with John and Hugh on the morning show. Chip Carey is going to join us at 8. We'll talk Braves with the voice of the Braves and get his thoughts on these young pitchers and what he sees, because, you know, this is the future. This is what we've been waiting for in a lot of ways, and we'll talk to Chip at 8. At 8:20 this morning, Jason Longshore ahead of Sunday's game against Sporting Kansas City. That's a late-night game on Cinco de Mayo, which is a 9 o'clock kick on Sports Radio 92.
Cinco de Mayo. I'm excited about Cinco de Mayo. I don't even know why, because I'm not going to do anything. But it's just exciting to see everybody else get excited about a non-realistic holiday.
My wife, the Maven, made her pork carnitas last night.
Pork carnitas. Yeah, you told me about that. How were they?
Oh, dude, they're so good.
See, sounds a little bit too spicy for your boy.
No. Actually, they're very mild.
Can you do that?
You put them in a slow cooker with a can of beer, some orange juice, onions and garlic, and let them go for 8 hours.
Just give me the can of beer. I'll take that can of beer Friday.
No, they're
really
good.
Saturday. Maybe Friday. Sit on somebody's porch.
You pull them out and they fall apart, and then you throw them into taco shells, put red onion and jalapeno on them. Oh, man, they're so good. Yeah. And so we had that and rice and all this great stuff last night.
What did you have to drink? What was the taste? I know you drank wine.
No, I drink water. I drink water for dinner. That's all I ever drink.
That's kind of interesting, because I don't like to, like me personally, I don't like to drink alcohol when I'm eating.
I don't either.
It's weird. It makes my stomach feel weird.
Well, it also changes the flavor of the food to me.
I would probably say yeah. I don't like the people that drink beer with their meal. To me, that's kind of nasty.
You know, I mean, see, I just drink water. I'll drink after, or you know, I'll drink after the meal. Right.
Yeah. I thought I was the only one that did that.
No,
okay.
No, I only have water when I'm drinking it. I'll have iced tea occasionally. You know, but that's like with breakfast or something.
Okay.
And only because I've had too much coffee anyway. So we had carnitas last night.
Carnitas.
With rice and lots of jalapenos and this and that and the other thing.
I can't do them.
And then you know what we're having tonight?
What?
Carnitas.
Oh, because you got leftovers.
Oh, that's how it rolls at our house.
No, but you know, leftovers.
We never eat anything in one night. So it's always two nights. And sometimes if we're not careful, it's three.
Leftovers are the best. like when you cook something like that and you have it left over for whatever reason, it tastes better the next day. I never understood those guys. There's some guys who, when they eat dinner, they have to have something different every night or they get upset.
If I like it, care. I don't care.
I don't
if
care.
I like it.
I don't care. That's why, you know, the caveman status, because I will eat leftovers. If you make me a sandwich, if you make that sandwich with love, I'll eat that. I'm not really a picky eater when it comes to stuff.
When
like
I was
that.
A bachelor, there used to be a Waffle House on Delk Road at 75. It's gone now. And I think that's where the racetrack is. But there used to be a Waffle House there, and I lived right around the corner on Terrell Mill. Hugh, I mean every day for 4 years, every morning, every single morning, I went to that Waffle House and had two eggs over medium, double plate scattered and smothered, and either chicken or they used to do a chopped
creature
steak.
Of habit. Creature
every
of habit.
Every single
I'm kind of like that now. I'm kind of like that now. I like to eat the same thing. I'm not a foodie. I'm not a food adventurist. You know, you have some people that are food adventurists. I'm not that guy. I eat what I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have some people when they go on vacation, they like to go to these different places and try these different foods. Nah.
I'll try like a taste, games. But mostly I'm not eating it for a meal.
No, my stomach don't like those games.
So Chip Carey at 8 o'clock, Longshore at 8:20, and then something really different today. In studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour, it's odd to say former Georgia linebacker DeAndre Walker, now a Tennessee Titan, is going to be here, and we're going to talk about his transition into the NFL, what it's like to be a rookie, his thoughts about the Tennessee Titans, and talk to him a lot about his time at Georgia.
And not only that, John, you know, hopefully, since he's down the street, we can kind of come in and hang out with us every now and then and tell us how it's going, because this is going to be a long season for him, lots of stuff to learn. Coach Vrabel was an outside linebacker himself.
He was.
And, you know, see how that's going to work out for him. I want to see him do well. And then not only that, John, since Tennessee's not that far, see if we can get some tickets to the game. Because we're not. It's not like we're not going to be the only person that's asking for tickets. You know, I'm pretty sure with this family
Do you get tickets as a player?
You know, me and Randy were trying to figure that out yesterday because I couldn't remember. I know that there were two tickets. I think there were two tickets offered to you if you wanted them for home games. Away games, you had to pay for those. But I do believe that you got two – when you're at home, you got two tickets for home games. I do believe. So it's been so long ago, I couldn't remember. He couldn't remember either, but I think that's what it was. And anything after that was those two you had to pay for.
Yeah, because, you know, we get – because of the nature – well, you get it because you're a player, but I get it because of the nature of what I do. My friends will say, hey, can you hook me up with two tickets to the Falcons game? And I have to explain to them, no, because –
it's not like that.
The NFL does not allow for comp tickets to media, and comp tickets.
We barely get, like, press passes.
Right. We barely get press passes. Those are hard to come by. There are no comp tickets to the NFL. So I go, no, the NFL doesn't give out comp tickets. I think sometimes they think I'm lying, but you can back me up. There are no the NFL has a league policy, no comp tickets. And so if you get two tickets, that's only because the team probably bought them from the NFL and is distributing them to you, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I forgot how that goes. But I remember I said, do you need your tickets this weekend? Or I remember guys coming around the locker room saying, hey, can I use your tickets? And that's how you would do it. Because sometimes you would have tickets and you wouldn't use them. I remember that a lot in New York, when I played with the Jets, that was the case. They would give you two tickets and you normally would give them away to somebody who needed them.
A couple other quick headlines today as we roll into what's going to be a packed show. The Kentucky Derby took a big hit yesterday, lost the favorite on the board, and the favorite for the Derby and maybe the Triple Crown was a horse called Omaha Beach, scratched yesterday, and that will change the field a lot. Hewitt, and then the horse got sick, right? Is that what happened?
No, Abe told me yesterday. I got a friend in Philly that him and Abe look just alike, and I keep calling him Gabe, but it's Abe. Abe sent me out a text yesterday that said it was entrapped epiglottis.
I guess his
epiglottis gets trapped and they have to go in and have to do surgery to flip it back. It's really weird. I was reading about it. Yeah, this is a big deal for horses.
Mm.
And you know, you have to have surgery. That's the only way you can correct it. So that's why.
Maybe the horse will be back for the Preakness. I don't know. Or is it a long term? Right. Boy, I feel for the owners of Omaha Beach because
a lot of money in that horse, man.
Man, if you win the Derby, what's it worth in stud fees just to win the Derby? I have no idea. Somebody out there is smarter than me can text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Is it worth $50 million? I mean,
it all depends.
Unbelievable amount of money.
Because the bloodline to stud,
yeah,
all depends on the bloodline and how with the horse won.
So where do we sit with the Braves at 15-15? With the young kids. Do you see what's happening in Gwinnett? Do the Braves have a different sort of good problem? That's next with John and Hume. Chip Carey on Fox Sports South. Chip will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning talking about Dansby and the Braves. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hume on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Dansby off to that fast start. Alex Anthopoulos, you told us that he said, that Dansby was going to be 20-plus home runs if he stayed healthy with that wrist. He already has six, and he's on pace for about 30-something.
Yeah, man, and, you know, you're coming up with that hit last night, man, to help, you know, get things crack-a-lacking last night. You can't say enough about what he's been to this team so far. There was a lot of questions early in the season about what he was going to be coming off of that wrist injury. And for him to have the season that he's had right now, I think they're all tied. They're kind of like him. Josh Donaldson, I think, is Acuña. And Albie's all kind of like lumped in there for home runs
now. And Freddie.
Yeah, I couldn't never forget Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman might be in line to get paid again if he keeps having the season that he's having right now.
Yeah, so the Braves are getting great production through and through in their lineup. They're getting, again, one of the top hitting teams in all of Major League Baseball. They're getting good starting pitching, and they did at the beginning of the year, too. Just making it all come together. Will it all come together in May? 15-15 is not really where they want to be, but let's see if they do get hot. Maybe yesterday was the beginning of getting hot in the month of May. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. By the way, you should know that the Braves have kind of a good problem right now, and that is down in Gwinnett, whatever you want to call it, with the Gwinnett Stripers, and down in Mississippi with the Mississippi Braves. You have young guys, young players, Well, you have one veteran in Adam Duvall who's just tearing it up,
mm-hmm.
and he's ready to come up. But you have young players. If not for Josh Donaldson, Austin Riley would, I think, Hugh, be your starting third baseman on this team by this weekend and for the rest of the year. He is just destroying. He hit one yesterday, Hugh, that was – you got to see. The video is classic. It was almost 500 feet, and when he hit it, the catcher's reaction was just the catcher just – he jumped out of his crouch and almost wanted to throw his mitt and turned his head away and just went, oh, my God.
It was like that.
It's how far he hit it, nearly 500 feet. Yeah, Austin Riley. See, the it's a kind of a good problem. The problem is Austin Riley's ready. But you got no place for him.
Yeah, because you had Johan Camargo out there last night. He was out there. And you're talking about Josh Donaldson. I think right now, unless you're ready to move on from Johan, if you're okay with that, then yeah, you could bring him up and he could be that guy that could come in and you could rest him. When you rest in Donaldson, you can bring him in and let him play a little bit.
But what Johan could do, though, that Riley can't, is Johan could play third, he could play short, he could play second, he could play, Riley's pretty much just third baseman. That's the problem.
I think that right now, when you look at the way that they're two platooning, and you're talking about Charlie Culberson coming up last night, that it's a little bit easier with the guys that you have up right now to kind of like move guys into different spots and allow guys to get rest and things of that nature. I think the more you could do is kind of the trend that's in professional sports right now.
Right. Well, both those guys, Culberson and Camargo, are multi-position players.
Yeah.
Either of them could play about five spots.
Yeah. And I think that's the way that it allows you to be a little bit more flexible
mm-hmm.
when you have guys that can do that, that can play multiple positions.
Especially if you're a switch-hitting multiple-position player like Johan Camargo. Those are rare. And so that's why he's got such value to the team, in addition to the fact that he's, a pretty good player. So, he's got a lot of value to the team in that regard. But you got Austin Riley tearing it up. Then down in Mississippi, by the way, Sean Newcomb might be ready to come up too.
Yeah, but where are you going to put him?
That's what I'm saying. This is a good problem to have. Down in Mississippi, Christian Pache, if not for Ender Inciarte, if not for Ender and Josh Donaldson, Christian Pache would be your starting center fielder, and Austin Riley would be your starting third baseman. They're ready. And then there's another youngster who's from Georgia. His name is Drew Walters. And he is he's a kid. He's down in Double A, but he's not ready yet. But Hugh, by this time next year, Drew Walters might be ready for the big leagues.
Out of all them folks that you're talking about, John, that's great. Position players getting ready is great. That's not what I need right now. I need some pitchers that's going to come in and help steady this bullpen. I think that I have what we talked about yesterday. We have three quality starters. I need somebody to help steady this bullpen so we can start making some hay in this division. Because right now you're talking about Philadelphia's leading with 17 wins, and we're right in that deadlock with the Mets right now. I need some pitching. My hitting is great. It's coming around. That's fine and dandy. I need some pitchers.
Yeah, and that's what you're getting out of the starters is, can you get the relievers? Tomlin was good last night, right? It's audition time right now.
Consistency.
Webb did not have a good outing last night, but Tomlin did. We just got called out on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line.
By what?
You and I. From the 404, sometimes y'all is singular, and if you've just moved to the South, y'all can be singular and it can be plural. It depends on the context, okay? In this case, it's plural. Y'all, speaking to you and me, y'all don't know how to eat. Y'all got no taste buds. Beer is food, nitwits.
I just can't do it, man, for whatever. Like, if I'm going to drink beer, I want to be able to taste my beer. I don't want to mix it with food and vice versa. It just, to me, those two things do not go together. Now, I've seen people do it, and on occasion when pressed to do it, I will, but that's not my preference. I do not prefer to do that.
Well, yeah, because what I'm like, if I'm eating ribs, I don't want to, taste all that great ribs, and then the next thing you know,
wash it down with a beer.
Now you're tasting beer. Yeah. I want that flavor to linger.
And plus, if I'm drinking beer, I'm drinking beer with a purpose, and I'm probably drinking my dinner. Like we used to call it when you go, we'll hang out and say, hey, what are you eating? No, I'm drinking my dinner tonight. I'm drinking my dinner. I don't want to mix the two. And then I think you have a better chance if you're out and being festive, you have a better chance of throwing up. By mixing the two.
Well,
don't want to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Don't mix. Back to baseball for a second. A couple of baseball stories unrelated to the Braves. But there's a big story on Yahoo this morning on the heels of what happened in Kansas City yesterday. The Kansas City Royals and the Tampa Bay Rays played a game at Kauffman Stadium. where I think the number of people in attendance just by the photos at First Pitch U had to have been maybe, I if I'm counting heads, maybe 100.
Damn.
Maybe 100 people in the entire stadium.
Maybe they were getting ready for Cinco de Mayo.
Now
maybe they were getting ready for the festivities.
They came in and said that the attendance today, 11,700 and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Maybe they were a late arriving crowd or whatever. But Yahoo has a larger story about baseball's attendance issues so far this season, you know, with lots of empty seats across Major League Baseball. And I don't know, maybe baseball will have an attendance problem. We don't hear in Atlanta. But maybe some people are, you know, I don't know. You know, school's still in. And in a lot of places, that's a difficult, you know, that's part of what happened at Kansas City yesterday, is it was supposed to be a night game, became a day game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when school's in the middle of the week on a
day
game.
Yeah, it's hard to move around.
Right.
It's hard to move around and get the kids settled and everything and get to a game.
Because you know,
most of the time when you have day games like that, I would think most parents would like to take their kids with them.
Right, and if it's a school day, you're not
doing that. You can't do that. Or, you know, some parents might pull their kids out of school. Because, you know, we only have a few more weeks of school left,
right,
if I'm not mistaken.
May 2nd, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Kansas City is a an interesting team because they're a regional team. They're not like – they're more like Cincinnati. Atlanta's a metropolitan team. I mean, yes, the Braves are regional, and people come from Chattanooga and Macon and wherever, Augusta.
But they have you would probably say they have a bigger brand.
But Atlanta's got, 6.5 million people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the town itself can support the baseball team. Kansas City's not that big a town. It's under 2 million people. And so, it's not even a third the size of Atlanta. So they count on, people coming in for the weekend from Wichita and Columbia and Omaha and places like that to, go to the games. They're a regional team. Well, you're not driving in on a, Wednesday afternoon during school from, beyond, Kansas City proper. So, I don't really worry about attendance right now. You wait till school gets out and we'll see what happens. And that plus the Royals aren't any good anymore. Remember, weren't the Royals just in the World Series?
They don't seem like, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, and suddenly they're no good no more. And they were going to be the team everybody
caught. That was one of the Sabermetrics teams. They were one of the Sabermetrics teams as well.
Mm-hmm.
They did all that Sabermetrics stuff.
Hey, Mike Foltynewicz is on the mound for the Braves today. A 12-10 start. Hey, it's a school day. It's a noon start, but there'll be a good crowd at SunTrust Park. You can back
I believe that to be the case. That's a nice time over there with the battery.
Corey Kluber. The Indian season may have ended last night.
Yeah, he broke his forearm.
You know, it's funny. Jeff Francoeur was talking on the broadcast, I think, a couple of days ago. There was a shot. I don't know if you recall it, Bo Johnson. There was a shot back to the box and over the pitcher's head. And I forget. But he was remarking, going, I'm surprised that more pitchers don't get, seriously injured. Because whatever the pitcher throws the ball at, let's say the pitcher is throwing it at 95, it's coming back at you faster than 95.
Yeah, especially if you get contact. That thing is screaming.
All right, so it's coming back at 100 and some. Plus the pitcher, and you can make this case too, is closer to the batter because when you come off the rubber and you're down on the bottom of the mound, you're another 5 feet closer to the batter,
mm-hmm.
and it's coming at you and you're a little off, you're not exactly standing there. So he's right. I mean, we're surprised that more pitchers don't get seriously injured, but boy, that is a terrible break, so to speak, for the Cleveland Indians. Their season, I mean, you can't lose Corey Kluber. You can't.
No, Abe just told me that the pitch came back to him. They say it was like at 104.
Wow.
Yeah. And to break your forearm like that, man, I've never broken one, but that sounds extremely painful. You know, you're trying to defend yourself and have it break like that. That sounds extremely painful.
This is something that and I understand that people want to overreact and say, well, because of what happened to Corey Kluber, maybe you should do this. But if you really think about it, Fred Coors is right. It's amazing it doesn't happen more often, but it really doesn't happen very often at all. I mean, if it did happen, then I think we would have some kind of reaction. But it's so rare that a pitcher gets hit like that. And certainly even rarer that a pitcher would be knocked out for the season on a line drive. But, no, it's a nasty thing. Hey, we want you to help us beat cancer, and we want you to join our team. Our team is called the Game Changers. That's what we want to do when it comes to the American Cancer Society. We want to be game changers. And we're going to be doing the Relay for Life coming up tomorrow at Jim Miller Park in Marietta. We want you to go to relayforlife.org, relayforlife.org/join, and then find our team. You can join any team you want, but we want you to join our team, the Game Changers, at relayforlife.org/join. Did you see the Billboard Music Awards last night? If you're a Game of Thrones fan, I understand. Now, I didn't see it, but Hugh did. My understanding is that there was a moment for you in this award show. Is that right, Bo? Okay, we're going to play the audio. All right, we'll do that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Thursday. Looking ahead to a very busy weekend, but a big show today. We mentioned Chip Carey at 8.
Chip.
Jason Longshore at 8:20 ahead of the game on Sunday night. It's a late night game. And look, for example, Cinco de Mayo, because Hugh, our watch party is going to be at Park Tavern in Piedmont Park.
That might be a nice little place to watch the game too for Cinco de Mayo.
Right, at 9 o'clock on Sunday night, which is great because Park Tavern is a wonderful place. I love Park Tavern. It's just at 9 o'clock start though for us. I mean, that old dark comes pretty early.
Yeah, I mean, for you, it would probably be kind of a stretch to come to Park Tavern and hang out and then have to go ride back out to Islamabad and then come back to work.
Yeah,
for me,
yeah,
probably not that bad. I'll probably just, bring a change of clothes and wash up in the bathroom here and just come straight to work.
Go to Park Tavern, get there at 9, game ends at 11. I'm home at midnight because it's about an hour to where I live.
I'm just going to stay downtown.
I'm at 3:45.
Take a shower here and do it like that.
Like that, you know, yeah. Right? Exactly. So a lot going on in DeAndre Walker in the 9 o'clock hour for you Georgia fans to talk. And he's going to be in studio. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really interesting. So apparently last night there was the Billboard Music Awards. Now Drake is a human sports curse.
Drake, no question about it.
And Drake is such he is the bandwagon hoppinest person of all time, right? I mean, he's
supported a lot of different teams, and we've seen Drake on more than one occasion with a lot of different swag on from a lot of different, spanning from professional teams to college teams.
Right.
Yeah, would you call him a sports prostitute?
Yes.
Sports prostitute. I didn't want to call him.
And he kills everything he touches. He's like death, you know? I mean, Drake, listen, whatever you do, never, never come to a Hawks game in Hawks gear. Never, ever.
I don't think they're trendy enough for Drake just yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet, but they're working on it.
Of course, Drake also wins about 10 gazillion awards every year.
Yeah, he passed, who was it, Taylor Swift for the awards that he won last night? I think he beat her as far as the Billboard Music Awards, how many he's won. Don't ask me. I just saw it was like the blurb come across. Drake's won as many awards as like Taylor Swift, and I saw it and I was like, impressive. He's very talented though.
No question about it. Very, very talented guy. I'm nobody arguing that.
Ever since those days that I've never watched Degrassi High, because he was an actor first, and he was the guy that was in the wheelchair, and then he became a rapper, and he just from there he just blew up.
Right. So now Drake wins lots of awards. He curses a lot of teams. He dates a lot of famous women, but you know, that's not anything anybody's talking about with Drake this morning. They're only talking about this little 5 or 6 second clip from the Billboard Awards last night of when he said this. Oh, we lost it.
Shout out to Arya Stark for putting in that work last week.
Shout out to Arya Stark for putting in that work.
And you know what? Two things happened last night when he did that. This is what I don't understand. Some people were upset because they felt that Drake spoiled Game of Thrones, which I do not understand why that some people would feel that way. Because if you've been on this planet, in which you are, that has been the conversation for the last couple of days. And I'm pretty sure that you've watched it by now. So I don't think he spoiled it. But another group of people were upset because they felt like Drake spoiled it for Arya, like something bad is going to happen to Arya, because Drake has been notorious for cursing. When Drake signs off on something, he's been notorious for cursing him, for whatever reason. Every team that Drake has pulled for or something, the year that he's pulled for them, they really don't do that well. So much so, John, that they have a list. Let me see. They have a list of
people.
Well,
that's why he's a Johnny come lately, you know, and he just he gloms onto teams. It's like he doesn't have any of his own teams, and if you're good, I'll glom onto you. And it's like, that's why I'm saying, no matter what happens, if the Hawks ever get good, you know, thank God he's never shown up at Atlanta United, has he, in a five stripes jersey? Please, God, don't. Or if he did, maybe that's what's wrong this year.
And the reason why they're upset, because I think the last curse or the last team that he cursed was actually the Alabama Crimson Tide. They say he showed up wearing a Crimson Tide hoodie. And they suffered the worst loss in a dozen years during the Saban regime. And I'm thinking that was against Clemson. And they're talking about how he was supporting Serena Williams in 2015, and she lost. And Johnny Manziel, we all remember the Johnny Manziel one.
Or the draft day thing?
Yeah, when he was hanging out with him in the draft day. Conor McGregor, another guy when Drake was hanging with. Conor McGregor got hands put on him. And remember, we all remember the Kentucky Wildcats. He's at the Wildcats game with the Kentucky dad shirt on, sitting with Coach Calipari. Yeah, so he's a little bit of a bad luck charm. And I also think that somebody said he was pulling for the Rams during the Super Bowl. So I don't think they put that one in there. But, yeah, Drake's a little bit of a bad luck charm when it comes to things like that. And everybody was a little concerned about what's going to happen to Aria now after her great weekend. And we only got three Game of Thrones episodes left. What's going to happen now since Drake has already, you know, given her the death knell?
You're saying that he, yeah, she's well, not going to write, right?
Well, he kind of cursed her. What's going to happen? What's going to happen now? That's the concern for most folks.
She goes from heroin to dead is basically
When you think about Game of Thrones now, John, now with the White Walkers gone, the Night King's dead, supposedly, who's going to sit on the throne? Like now you're having people who are, you know, you got Cersei, you have, you know, Jon Snow, Aegon Targaryen, And then you had Daenerys. So now whatever happens next, you got to figure out who's going to sit on the throne. That's going to be the next couple episodes.
So who do you think ends up with the throne? You got to guess. You're a big fan. Just tell me. Go ahead. I mean, you're not spoiling anything. You're just guessing.
No, because we're all guessing. It's really hard to say, but if I was to take a guess, I would probably say Jon Snow, Aegon Targaryen. But I think it's going to come at a price, a huge price, and I'm just going to leave it at that. You know, Game of Thrones fans, you can take that and use it whichever way you want to use it, but I think that with everything that has happened so far in these episodes, when he told Daenerys, that's going to be a problem. And for him to sit on the throne, it's going to come at a price.
Now, I got another question for Game of Thrones. It's so huge. This is the biggest television event that we've had from a production standpoint.
Ever since, like, Who Shot JR?
I mean, it's just gigantic. But I can't imagine you could just walk away from this once you're over. Once this is over, there's too much money there to do another series. There's just too much.
But where would you go?
I don't know. I mean, you could start with a whole bunch of new dragons being born somewhere, I guess, right?
Oh, I was just told. My man Bo Johnson told me it's a prequel. It's a prequel to what? They're going to do a prequel to this. Kind of like a Star Wars thing, right? Oh, yeah, talk about the Targaryen. He said they're going to talk about the Targaryens back in the day. That should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, you can't walk away from this.
But it's going to be what? A world filled with dragons? Because that was when the Targaryens were in power. I don't know. Bo just told me they're going to be unicorns. I don't believe that.
Unicorns? Come on.
He's saying yes. Yes, they're going to be unicorns. I don't know about that. I don't know about the unicorns.
If they're unicorns, they're going to be the nastiest, meanest, biggest unicorn you've
gonna
ever seen.
It's
going to
be interesting because that's going to be before Daenerys. That's going to be before everybody. That's going to be before Jon Snow and Ned Stark. That's going to be interesting. Oh, this is going to be like the Mad King's reign, the Mad King era. So Jaime Lannister will be in it and maybe Tyrion. He'll be in it.
Yeah, you just can't walk away from that. There's just too much cash on the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what did HBO pay for another series? And godly amount of money.
John, the money that they spent, I watched the episode, the filming of The Longest Night, because, you know, they have in HBO, they have the episode where they talk about how they filmed the episode. They filmed that battle scene. Took them 11 weeks to film.
11 weeks?
11 weeks to film. And they were talking about, like, you think about that one scene, that's probably cost as much as a whole movie. That one scene was a whole movie.
Hey, the new Falcons, John Kaminsky and Kendall Sheffield. A couple of the new Falcons were talking. We have some audio. Want to hear from them? Okay, we'll do that next. On The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. And check out the very latest news. You should bookmark our website at 929thegame.com.
Now, your game time traffic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.